right, we are joined by Jimmy Johnson, driver of the number 48 Ally Chevrolet. We'll go ahead and open up the floor to questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless microphone to you. Start with Wolfgang.
Jimmy, over here. Wolfgang from Germany. Actually, I have two questions. Number one, when you made the decision that's your last season, can you describe your feeling? Was it strange, a little bit painful? And the second question, I think shortly before this year's Daytona 500, there were some information on various internet pages that we maybe see you next year in a different kind of racing like IMSA or IndyCar. How realistic is that?
On the first part, you know, I was looking for some feeling to really back up whichever direction I went, if I was going to extend and sign up through 23 with Ally at HMS or move on. And the feeling of moving on just brought energy and excitement. And I knew in my heart then that it was time, you know. And to kind of lead into your second question, you know, this is really about balancing out life. I've been in the NASCAR garage area for this is my 21st year, including my Xfinity days. And I feel really good in my heart with what I've accomplished and where I'm at. I certainly have a lot I want to prove this year and certainly hope to have the ultimate happen. But I do want to continue to race, and I am interested in other cars and other series. And we'll see where this year leads and what comes around and what options I might have in 21 and beyond. But you know, I wouldn't rule out coming back for the right situation here in Cup. I wouldn't rule out road courses in IndyCar. I wouldn't rule out IMSA or the WEC series. Off-road racing, you know, I really have a long bucket list that I want to start checking some boxes on, even down to running the New York City Marathon, some mountain bike races I want to do. I just want to balance some stuff out. You know, I feel like I've got at least five more really good years, and I feel very satisfied with what I've done on a full-time basis here, and I want to get out and explore and live a little bit.
What about Formula E?
I would be open to it. I don't have any contacts there and haven't had any conversations on that side, but if it's got wheels on it, I'm interested. And I'd even try racing a boat, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't have to have wheels. Definitely not going to race airplanes or helicopters, but I'd consider a boat.
Go ahead. Sorry. Right behind you.
Yep. Justin Schuler, kicking the tires. Jimmy, what were your thoughts when you found out Chandra and Genevieve and Lydia are going to be waving the green flag?
Just really excited for it. You know, this year we're really trying hard to enjoy as much as we can and really take any opportunity that comes our way. And that's certainly a different one for us and for my family. And just very thankful the track came to us with that suggestion, is willing to get my family up there in the stands. So I think pre-race is going to be full of emotions. They'll have a chance to come across the stage with me and be introduced with their responsibilities, being a part of the five wide saluting at the front of the field, and then seeing those hands up there in the flag stand going by is going to be pretty awesome.
Jerry wants to know if you're going to wave when you go by.
Hands might be full, but I doubt it. I'll definitely be smiling, though.
I'm up front here.
Kathy Brown, Pitting Outside the Box. Looking at your career in its totality, if you could go back and tell Jimmy Johnson making his first start one thing, what would be that one thing that you would tell him, given what you know now?
It's going to be okay. It's going to turn out. I know, I say that, and then I kind of don't know if I would tell myself anything, because you know, my own insecurities and wondering how I fit in the sport, wondering if I was going to survive in the sport, all those things led to my work ethic and discipline and drive and helped create the opportunities that came for me. It's interesting now that I'm later in my career, the connection I have with the fans, that's something that I've lacked in my earlier years, and certainly when I was winning championships in a row and all that stuff. So I don't know how to really, you know, enjoy that piece a bit more or have a deeper fan connection. But from the performance side, the competition side, and everything I've done behind the wheel, I wouldn't change a thing. You know, I think there's more of a fan piece that I wish would have gone a little different during my peak years. But who knows what this year and the future holds. Maybe it's all for a reason as well. I don't know.
Come up to the gentleman up front.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
Good.
Joe Britt, Gotcha Racing TV. With retirement in the wings or coming up to you, has your stress level gone down any? And if so, when you do retire, two-part question, when you do retire, team owner, is that, you thinking about that?
No, definitely not an owner. As a kid, I always wanted, my dream was to take my helmet anywhere and drive anything. Tony Stewart and some of these other guys, well, Tony's hard to use an example, but other guys have always wanted to be a team owner and own their own equipment. That's just never been in the cards for me. My dream was to show up anywhere, anytime, and race anything. So I want to do that as I move on to this next phase of life and racing. What was the first part?
Stress level.
Stress level. Oh, it's higher, no doubt. Having a year to to still race, I think the way Carl Edwards did it was involved the least amount of stress. You just show up at a press conference one day, it's over, answer a few questions, you walk away. To have a full year to plan out and a full year to, in my opinion, enjoy, and I'm very thankful that I've chosen this path, but there's a lot that goes into it, and my office would say the same. Stress is higher than normal. And then the competition side's still there, so that stress never goes away. We've just added other stress. Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy. Cole Cusabano, Popular Speed. So obviously a really special place for you here, Fontana. Given your success and all the tributes going on this weekend, where would a win here this weekend rank for you in your 80-plus wins?
Man, it'd be insane. Home track, first win. I mean, you could just go down the list of meaningful talking points that could come out of it. So the way last weekend went and the speed that we had in our Hendrick cars, the way mine drove, very optimistic about this weekend, and it'd just be incredible to pull that off if we could.
Go to Lee.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. Just curious how much, I guess, momentum you got from last weekend's finish, because it was a solid run. I mean, the seas kind of parted, but it's still a good run. I mean, what do you and Cliff, how do you guys take that and kind of build on that finish?
Yeah, for me, I think we just take a deep breath after that performance, and it's more than the finish. You know, we ran in the top 10 and top 5 most of the day. So, and the car honestly responded well to adjustments through the weekend. So with all the new things we have this year going on, it was really just a deep breath, like, all right, we're in a way better place than we were leaving Vegas last year at this time. It's just a relief, and we know we still have a ton of work ahead, but we're not we're not panicked, or we're not overly stressed about what we have in front of us. We can just be calm and relaxed and get to work.
Yep. Bob?
I'm Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. Since it is your home track, do you have, any high school friends or teachers or anybody from your youth coming this weekend?
Yeah, there's a bunch of friends coming this weekend from hometown, L.A. friends, people just on the West Coast, friends on the West Coast, so I have a big suite up above us somewhere that's going to be socked full of friends and people having a good time.
Tyler Burnett, MRN, back here. Hi, Jimmy. It seems like drivers who come from the Southwest really admire the Phoenix Raceway, and it was something that they grew up knowing that was kind of the goal to achieve, to race, in the Copper World Classic. Do you have memories of going there if you did younger, or what kind of Phoenix memory sticks out most in your career?
Yeah, I think it's, when you go back through the years, it's really stood the test of time, and you've had all forms of car racing come through, all the big divisions. So as a kid, your memories still last. Those memories are still being made at that track. I did attend races at a few other tracks, but most of them are gone and aren't even around. So I'm glad that Phoenix has stood the test of time and will be around for a long, long time. For me, my first time there was for an off-road race. My dad was a mechanic on an off-road buggy, and they used the infield to put on an off-road race. So that was my first time there. I can recall going in the mid-90s when I was a driver for Chevrolet in their off-road trucks. The truck series, NASCAR truck series, was just coming along, and I thought I had my big moment to drive one. I was giving rides in the morning prior to the race in a two-seat truck. So I remember going there with great excitement and optimism to drive on the asphalt for the first time. So I do have some early memories going there and watching. But the first time I ever raced there was, I guess, the Busch Series in 2000.
Jim Peltz of the LA Times. Here, Jimmy. So many of your peers have never won here despite you know, 12, 15 attempts, and to do it six times, I mean, besides your skill, what would you attribute that to?
This is such a team sport, and I think the last 2 years have proved to me more than anything just how important each individual is on the team, the manufacturer's significance in them being at the peak of their performance, and the organization you drive for. And I came in as an unknown driver and was able to – my timing worked out where team, manufacturer, and organization was all – at its peak, and I was able to ride that wave for a long time. So I really attribute, you know, my success to the timing of those four key pieces being in the right spot. So it's, you know, it's timing and people, honestly.
Go ahead.
Sorry for being a little late. The mural outside, how cool is that mural? How neat is that mural, and what does it signify to you? Significance.
Super cool. I was just out there and took some pictures with it, and I mean, it just, the artist did an amazing job, and to come to my home track and to see the effort that they put in to kind of honor me and my career means a lot to me, really does. The things that are happening pre-race, there's a ticket package that's sold very well. You know, I just feel a ton of support coming from my hometown track and the fans here in the area, so it's really neat.
Can you tell me about that day in 2002 when you came here and won your first race, your first race? Can you give me just a little bit about what that day was like for you? Remember it at all?
Oh, yeah. That's the day I knew I was going to be employed. Jeff Gordon handed me all of his championship equipment from the year before, and they told me they'd be patient and I had time, but I, in my heart, didn't think that was the case, and I knew I needed to win. So to leave here with a trophy meant that I'd have a job for a few years, and I was pretty stoked about that.
Kind of a generic question, but how important or neat is it for the whole Southern California region? How important is NASCAR for that, for the people of SoCal and the fans of NASCAR?
Yeah, I believe NASCAR is really important for Southern California, but I'd even flip it and say that Southern California or California in general is really important for NASCAR. I think there's six drivers now from the state of California that are in the top division. I know at one point in time there were nine and more drivers from California than any other state, and clearly it was much more of a regional sport, and if you didn't grow up in stock cars in the South, you really didn't get a chance in NASCAR. And Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart really kind of paved the way for the rest of us. And as we all know, there is a ton of racing here in the area and a lot of talent in the car, mechanics, you know, the engineering side, all of it. There's just a lot of racing around here. So to see racing have its impact in the South and in NASCAR, I think is super cool.
We're going to go to the back. I'm sorry.
Yes, Larry Stewart from the Southern California News Group. Cole Custer was sitting up there a few minutes ago, another Californian, a rookie. What would your advice as a seasoned veteran about to retire to a rookie, another Californian, by the way?
Ironically, I was in the back of a pickup truck with him at Vegas for the lap around before the race started after driver intros, and he kind of asked me that question. And we were looking forward at the track, and I pointed at the track and said, this stuff out here, that's the easy part. It's what you've been doing. Trust your instincts. Trust everything you've done to get here. That's the easy part. It's the rest. It's the stuff outside of the car that a young cup driver just isn't used to. There's a lot of stress that comes with all the things outside of the car that, you know, honestly take a few years to adapt to and get ready. Yeah, you damn media people. That's certainly one. No, and I mean, it just depends. I mean, it could be media, it could be friends, it could be family, it could be finances, it could be sponsors. I mean, there's just so much. And when you're a young aspiring driver, all you do is worry about seat time and your race car and the race tracks. When you get to this level, it's a big business, and there's a lot of stuff outside of it that you just haven't had a lot of reps with. And some people can balance that well. Others, you know, when you pull them away from the car and away from the competition side, you know, everybody reacts a little different to that. And that's the hardest part I felt, was transitioning from even only from a Saturday show to a Sunday show. The amount of work that's expected of you at the cup level and the professionalism required, the sponsors, the meet and greets, all the stuff that go with it, it's time, at least times five, if not times ten, for what you experience on the Saturday shows.
That's all the time we have for questions. Jimmy thank you. Before we let you go, I would like to introduce Auto Club Speedway President Dave Allen.
Hi, Jimmy. Hey, surprising me again.
I have one question. What is the term too hip?
Too hip. That is my mentor, Rick Johnson, is what that is.
Did you have any riding pants or anything like that?
I did. I was Too Hip Junior for the longest time.
Too Hip Junior?
Yep. Or Hip 2 Junior, 2 Hip Junior, one of the two.
Well, first of all, we had a few minutes to talk a little while ago, and I apologize for crashing your media availability here, but obviously we have a lot of things happening here. You know, first of all, welcome everybody to Auto Club Speedway in Southern California. We're excited to have you all back, and of course this guy right here, you know, old six time for us. You know, a lot of people call you seven time, but six time for us.
Win seven here.
I think that'd be a great way to go out. What do you get somebody like Jimmy Johnson? You know, so we I had a little help from our friend at Troy Lee Designs. Troy.
Awesome.
And of course Ricky as well. So I understand that you have most of the gear that you've ever worn since you were this big.
I do.
To this big. I'm not sure you have this. I've heard reports maybe you don't. So I'm hoping this strikes a chord with you. This is actually a Moto 3 helmet that Troy was able to find at his house and repaint in the livery that you might recognize.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
So on behalf of the track and all of our race fans here, just a small token of the appreciation that we have for you and look forward to seeing what you do in the future. It says, JJ, thanks for the memories. Stay on the gas.
That is incredible. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So just a backstory. I'm trying to remember. So we're talking 82 or 83. Rick Johnson was sponsored by Yamaha and then sponsored me on 50s, 60s, and 80s. And I remember the helmet, and I have a picture of me at Speedway 117 in Chula Vista laying on my bike. And this helmet is somewhere in the photo, but this it's like Wednesday night races we used to have there. There's a sprint car track, and they'd build a motocross track in the infield. And that's where we would go ride and race on the weekends or the weekdays.
We found a picture of you with this on. And from behind, and then Ricky was actually standing in front of you talking to you about it. So that's what awesome. Troy had.
Oh, I know that photo's from Barona Oaks.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a riding school out there. I have that picture framed too. Yep, absolutely.
Well, Troy's coming. You know, he's coming this weekend. He couldn't be here today, but
that's incredible. Thank you.
Hope you enjoy it.
Super cool. So,
stay on the gas. We want to see you racing something else.
Loud pedals on the right.